This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
The Stu Gus, a man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Gus, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity. It's the biggest podcast in the world. Thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast on the planet. I appreciate it. Keep doing it. Do it right now. Seriously, subscribe, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe, then do it again, okay? And rate it and review it and keep doing it. I need you to do it, so please do it. Anyway, we are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code STU for a special offer when you sign up. That's code STU, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, we're going to get right to it today. Myself, Billy Gill, and Mike Golic Sr. We are going to have on the head coach from Middle Tennessee State, Rick Stockstill. I'm super excited about this. They were paid $1.5 million by the University of Miami to come down here, spend a couple of days on South Beach, and beat the holy hell out of UM. I mean, what a terrible investment by Miami. I mean, seriously. We're a Miami-based show. Dan graduated from UM. Mike is a Golden Hurricane. And you might ask yourself, why would you allow the Middle Tennessee coach, the Blue Raiders, why would you allow Rick Stockstill, the Middle Tennessee head coach, to come on and take a victory lap on one of our platforms? And there's a simple answer for that. We're assholes. Stupidity. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at DraftKings. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odd boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DAN. New customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. How about that? $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DAN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Mike, I know you love these stories. I know you love the stories of when the small program comes in and kicks the ass of a big program, and the University of Miami and Middle Tennessee State did just that this past weekend, beating Miami on their home field, Mike. And I know you love these stories in college football. Am I right?
I mean, I think they're great because there's always the talk of people saying, all these teams that take a big check to go play and they get beat up. Are you not worried about your player safety? And my thoughts always on the other side, the guys that are at the smaller schools, man, they love this opportunity. They love the opportunity to go against one of the, you know, air quotes, big boys and say, how do I stack up against those guys? So I am always for the players to say, man, this is your opportunity to go shine. And Middle Tennessee absolutely did that.
And their coach, Rick Stockstill, joins us, who has spent some time down here in Florida with Bobby Bowden, has spent a lot of time, actually, in the state of Florida. But, Rick, did you feel like you won some sort of lottery, it feels like, right? Like, that's the best $1.5 million your school has ever spent or ever collected.
Yeah, you know, it was a great afternoon, to say the least. I'm just so proud and happy for our players, because I tell them all the time that when they get done playing, they're not going to miss the weight room. They're not going to miss practice. You know, they're not going to miss the game. They're going to miss the locker room and the camaraderie that they have in there, and just the celebration after wins like that, games like that, that, you know, they created a memory that they'll carry with them for a lifetime. And to be the first team in Middle Tennessee State history to beat a ranked team, you can only be the first one time. And so those guys have got a great memory that they'll be able to keep with them for the rest of their life.
I mean, just you hit it on the head. The moments that those players can share on the field when it's all zeros and in the locker room has to be incredible. But take us through the week where, you know, you're going to Miami. Everybody kind of sees big guy against smaller guy.
It's a paid trip to Miami, Mike.
Yeah, but it is. But, you know, you're still, as a coach and a player, your plan is to win every single game. So, Coach, take us through that week of where the outside, what everybody was thinking, and how you and the players were dealing with it in preparation.
You know, the big thing, Mike, I kept emphasizing all week was the physical and mental toughness that we had to have and play with. And I kept telling them, I said, you're a good team. We're a good team. I believe in you. I said, Michael Irvin, Ray Lewis, all them cats, they ain't coming out of the smoke. You know, they ain't coming out of that tunnel. You're playing this team. You're not playing the history of that program, the legacy of all those great players. You're playing these guys. And, you know, I said, you're going to have to be tough physically because they're going to be bigger than us. You're going to have to be tough mentally because you're going on the road and, you know, you're going to have to overcome some adversity. And we did that, and just, you know, we had a plan going in. I thought we could run with them when we got, you know, watching them on film. But when we got there, I said, heck, we can run better. We can run by them. We can run better than they can. And, you know, you stop a team and something had, they keep talking about the big plays that we had, but, you know, we stopped them, you know, on the 6-yard line on fourth down, fourth and two or three. We stopped them fourth and goal. They started on the 3, and we stopped them fourth and goal on the 1. You know, we had 2 goal line stands against the mighty Hurricanes. And to me, that's an exemplifies the toughness of our team as much as anything throughout that game.
I mean, run by him. I mean, let's talk about the other side. You're Chase Cunningham. I mean, he has 16 completions for 408 yards. My quick math says that's a little over 25 yards of completion. You got receivers averaging 84 yards, 32 yards, 69 yards.
He had 3 average over 30 yards per catch, I believe.
It was, those 3 I just mentioned. It was stunning. So what did you see out of in your preparation and or on game day that said, okay, we can get away with this?
Just, you know, we've got a couple really good receivers. We have good speed at receiver position. And all those, except for one, you know, he caught a 10-yard curl and broke out of it for 85 or so. But, you know, most of them were the other 3 were, 4 of them were over the top of them. And, you know, we got good players that can run. And, you know, it's at times it's hard to, you know, to watch and see a game and, you know, match up speed wise until you get there. And, but like I said earlier, that I thought we could run with them. We weren't intimidated by their speed. Like, you know, you've played some of these games. We played Alabama a few years ago and man, it was, you know, a definite, you could tell on film that it was a definite speed difference. And but you didn't see that on the film watching these guys. And we just went down with a lot of confidence. And, you know, obviously we got off to a great start defensively. And, you know, that energized the whole team as well.
Coach, when did you sense your kids actually believed? Was it before the game? Was it at some point during the game? When did they believe, hey, we can pull this thing off, we're going to do this?
You know, throughout the course of the week, I never sensed, you know, a lot of times they'll ask, what do you think, Coach? You know, and they never got – I never got that feeling that they were, you know, had any doubt about it. They had a – you know, we're coming off two pretty good wins, and obviously, you know, the level of competition was going to go up with Miami. But, you know, we were just a confident team, and Mike said it earlier, you know, we've played so many of these Power Five games and we're not intimidated. We're not in awe of going into a big stadium and all that kind of stuff because we've done it, you know, so many times every year, you know, for that paycheck. And, you know, so we weren't in awe of them. We weren't intimidated, anything like that. We had a lot of juice, a lot of confidence. And, you know, even pregame warmups, you just, you know, being in a pro stadium, that always is a different vibe anyway. And it was just a really cool feeling. And, you know, there's a rain delay or lightning delay. We started about 15 minutes late, 20 minutes, but in the locker room during that time, and just I felt really good about our team, where we were at.
So one of the most impressive things to me, Coach, is the fact that it was the last score in the first quarter. You go up 17-3. So I think a lot of people were like, okay, boy, they got out to a great start, but Miami's going to start to take control and come back. You guys, from that point on, never let them get closer than two scores. That, to me, is incredibly impressive to keep them at bay like that. So you're up 17-3 after the first, 24-10 at half. What were you saying to them maybe after the first on the field or at halftime as far as you got the lead, but we had some game to go?
You know, we were really good at halftime, and I told them, I was really, you know, they scored with a minute left in the half, and they had a 15-play drive, and they converted three fourth and shorts, and then we got a 15-yard penalty for getting a hand into the face on that last drive. And I just told them, I said, man, just keep it in front of you, keep the ball in front of you. Don't give them anything easy. And we didn't do that. And you think about it, again, I keep going back to, here's the mighty Hurricanes. Three times on one drive, you know, they've got to go for it on fourth down to convert. And it wasn't, you know, making it by a long shot. I mean, they're going to the review box and all that kind of stuff to make sure. So we really felt good at halftime. And then, you know, come out at halftime, we get a stop. You know, defensively, so that adds to your confidence a little bit. Offensively, we had to punt, you know, then they score and make it, or then we go up, I think it was 31-17 or something like that. You know, probably the most disappointing part of the game was when it went to 38-17.
Right.
We had just scored 98-yard pass. We let them return the kickoff return back for a touchdown.
Right.
And at that point, I mean, the stadium was starting to go now, and that's where – and I got them, you know, not everybody up at the same time, but I went to each group and I said, this is where you got to be tough. This is the mental toughness part right here. We bowed our neck and we stopped it.
Billy Gill, our executive producer, is just joining us. Billy, you'll love to know this. Golic is enjoying this way too fucking much. Oh, like he is awesome. Enjoying the holy hell. Because for Billy, for a week, we're not talking about Notre Dame and their losses, okay?
But here's the thing, Bill.
I think, no, but Mike, here's the thing. I think Billy and I are enjoying it too. Like, I don't even like UM. Billy with FIU.
Oh, Coach, you made me so happy. I hate UM. You beating them was the highlight of my weekend. My team lost 73-0, so I was so excited to beat UM.
Yeah, so, you know, when we played Tennessee State the week before, we were winning 42-0 at halftime. And Eddie George, you know, is the head coach over at Tennessee State. And I told our guys, I said, I'm not interested in, you know, getting on ESPN, scoring, you know, 100 points, all that stuff. I want to do it the right way, be respectful, use the 40-second clock and all that kind of stuff. And then this week I see that score and I said, heck, I'm worried about you know, us beating Tennessee State and here Western Kentucky's running it up on FIU. So,
yeah, you just, you know, maybe they wanted to get on ESPN. Who knows? Yeah. They wanted to be in the top 10. So now you run into this. You get this win, the celebration. I don't know what you're – it's most people have the 24-hour rule celebration. But this is a monster win for 18- to 22-year-olds. You understand the gravity of the situation of getting a huge win, and then you got to play next week. 18- to 22-year-olds may not as much. So, and you're playing a UTSA team who, while they're 2-2, they have scored over 40 points a game they're averaging, so they can put points on the board. So how has this week been as far as, okay, guys, nice win, put it away, which I'm sure they're going to have a hard time doing. We got more games coming up.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I told him, Mike. I said, and again, this is the mental toughness part that you talk about. You've got to be able to put that, you know, in the background and enjoy it, you know, for that Saturday night and Sunday. But now it's time to go to work, and you can reflect on it at the end of the year. And some of these guys have been on the team when we beat Missouri. Some of these guys are on the team when we beat Syracuse. So they've got some history of, you know, beating Power Five guys here in the past. And we're a young team. We've only got 9 seniors. But I think we're a mature team. I think we're a very mature team. And, you know, we handled it good yesterday. You know, and we practiced here this afternoon. So I think, you know, we've enjoyed it. We've got it out of our system. And we're ready to move on to, like you said, you know, the best team in the conference coming in here this weekend.
What did Mario Cristobal say to you after the game, Coach?
Nothing.
Really?
No, I mean, it was – you know, and it was, you know, I've been there. What can you say? And I wasn't going to get into.
Congratulations, you know, would be a good place to start. I mean.
And he probably, and I've known Mario from when he was at FIU and everything. So I got a lot of respect for him. But I wasn't going to sit there and, you know, carry on a conversation because I know he didn't want to talk to me anyway. It was birthday. It was his birthday. So.
Oh, probably, wow.
That's a hell of a gift you gave him, Coach.
Now, we're in a new era of college football, so I'm wondering, Coach, all right, with NIL deals, any of those players asking for a cut of that 1.5?
Funny you say that. One of our players Sunday at practice asked me, he said, what do we do? He said, we got 1.5 for that game. What do you do with it? And I said, it goes to your scholarship and all that kind of stuff. And I was waiting for that next question to be, anyway, we can get a piece of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve it. I mean,
that is awesome. I love that he asked.
Yeah.
Wait, Coach, so after the game, do you, like, you, your staff, the kids, administration, do you guys, like, sit back, do you laugh and say, listen, they paid us $1.5 million for us to go down to South Beach, a little trip down to South Beach, nice weather. They paid us $1.5 million to go down there and kick their asses in front of their fans. You guys laugh about that at all? You should.
Yeah. I mean, it gets out there. You think about it. You're appreciative of, you know, the win and all that. But I said this yesterday on a radio deal, and I don't know, I didn't plan on doing it. It just came out, but they paid us $1.5 million. Miami ran for 194 yards against Texas A&M the week before.
Yeah,
they ran for 60 against us on 38 carries, which equaled 1.6 yards per carry. I said, how about that? They averaged 1.6 and gave us 1.5.
Oh, wow. Yes. That is awesome. Yes.
Coach, you deserve a victory lap. We're giving you a victory lap. You can take 2 laps if you want. I mean, we don't care. Miami.
I'm a sorry winner.
Hey, you know what? Though every now you get a moment that you have to embrace, right? That you have, because you know your players are embracing it.
Yep.
Coach, what do you think Bobby Badham would have said about you beating Miami?
You know, and I don't know. I did it last year when he passed, and you know, I've got his Bobby with the hat logo, you know, that Florida State did. I put that on my hat, and I wore it last year every game after he passed. And I'm wearing it again this year, and I'll wear it the rest of my life every game I coach. And Tommy West, our defensive line coach, you know, we were talking. He goes, I bet Coach Bowen was smiling down a little bit on you here tonight and saying, good job, Stock.
Billy sent me a little text here saying you look like a coach, and you do. You know that. You look like a coach, right? Like, you, listen, Billy and
sound
I want to like run through one a wall too. For you, okay?
I don't know if you say I look like a businessman or something.
No. No, you take care of business, but you look like a coach, you know? Yeah. How do you feel about this with Notre Dame? Because they're not off to a great start either. So while we have you on the phone, Billy thinks they should change their sign from play like a champion today to play like a national semifinalist today. You agree?
No, I'm going to stay in my own lane on that one.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach. That's why I always have to be on an interview with a coach, because these guys will say some dumb shit. So
that's a question. I mean,
oh no, it's not, Billy. No, it's not. Let the man enjoy his win. Don't try and drag other things into this, like my alma mater.
Mike, he seems to be enjoying it.
He should be. He should be. And I like I said in the beginning, Coach, I got to believe the players, because listen, players see the big time schools out there, and a lot of them didn't get recruited by those schools. So, I mean, there's got to be that inner burning at times to say, I want to see how I match up with those guys. So I would imagine the week leading up to that game, you had a lot of guys that were really excited to say, and like you said, you've had other guys on that team that have beaten Power Fives, but that's got to be such a great mental thing for them.
No question. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, I talked to them, you're going to earn everything you get in life. You know, you want a different number here, earn it. Go do something and earn it. You got to prove yourself every day. And, you know, these guys, none of our guys had Power Five offers. Now, they may have gotten Power Five letters, but they didn't get any Power Five offers. You know, our facilities don't come close to anybody like that. And I say, here's a chance. You know, they know they got a chip on their shoulder that, hey, I'm just as good as that guy that's getting an NIL deal down there. I'm just as good as that guy that's got a training table and we got to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm just as good as this guy. And they, it's added motivation. And I told them it's one of the greatest things in the world is to do something that nobody thinks you can do. And nobody thought we could go down and beat 26-point underdogs, go down there and beat Miami, you know. But we did it, and you proved a whole bunch of people wrong, and you got a good reason to stick your chest out with pride, and now go do it again, and go do it again. Every day, just prove yourself that you're just as good as the next guy. And if you'll carry that philosophy in life when you get married and have a family, you're going to be just as successful then.
So, you know, along those lines, Coach, you have to have a coach who, you know, can sell that to the players as well, as you could play with these big boys. So for you, I know you started out your coaching at Bethune-Cookman back in 83, but you coached for a number of years at Clemson. You coached at South Carolina. Do you think it helps that you coached at one of these big time schools to be able to bring that experience to the middle, your players, Middle Tennessee State players?
Yeah, no question. And I can tell, because I've told him, I said, you know, I coached this guy at Clemson. You're just as talented as he is. I coached this guy at South Carolina. You're just as talented as he is. You know, so you try to draw up different scenarios, different examples to give them confidence. And I'm not going to lie to him. I'm not going to say that, you know, you're this guy or that guy when, you know, you're not Randy Moss. You're 5'8". You're not Randy Moss, you know.
But so, sometimes, just to kind of motivate him, like, you could be Randy Moss, so if you tried a little harder, you know. You lie just a – it's not a lie. You just kind of stretch the truth to motivate him.
I think kids are too smart now. They know that – they know. And I'm not going to lie to them about anything. And they know they can read you. They read you. You could have told me anything when I was playing. You could have told me anything and I'd have believed Coach Bowen, you know, but these kids today, they're not. They want you to prove it to them and all that. So I just try to instill as much confidence. And we've got 7 or 8 guys playing in the NFL now. And I said, you know, they're playing. This is what they did to get there. You're as talented as they are, but you got to work harder. You don't work as hard as they did or whatever. And, you know, so I just try to build their confidence and keep their dream alive.
Rick, can you coach the Jets? I mean.
No, sir.
Please.
No, sir. I'm already telling you right now, you'd be the best coach we've ever had. Okay.
No, no, sir.
How'd you celebrate, coach? Quickly, we'll get you out of here. How'd you celebrate after?
Snuck a couple Tito's in the locker room and had me a vodka or Tito's and Gatorade drink in the locker room before I got out of there.
Oh, well, I bet any drink you made would have tasted fantastic. One last one for me. You've been there since 06, a head coach. Is this the biggest win and or the one you enjoyed the most as well?
It's a great question. I always said the Missouri win was my favorite because they had played in the SEC championship the year before. You know, we go out there, play them, and it was a 51-45 game, something like that. And I always, my son was a quarterback. So, you know, that element of it made it special, made it more special. But this one, being a top 25 team in the history of that program, the national championships of years gone by and the players and everything, this one, you know, surpasses that one.
So awesome. Did you and the kids get to enjoy South Beach while you were down here?
No.
You kept them far away from that place, right?
No, we stayed in Coach Shula, Don Shula's old hotel.
Oh, at Shula's hotel. Yeah
Shula's
much
hotel,
safer in Miami Gardens. You're right. It's a good call by you, Coach. Yeah. No doubt about it.
There ain't no football trip in the world where guys are going to go and enjoy South Beach. I mean, those trips are too quick.
I was worried about that big yellow snake they got down there. I didn't want to taking a picture of that around that.
I can't believe Cristobal didn't say anything to you afterwards. It's crazy.
Ah, he had to be pretty pissed, I'm sure. Yeah.
And it wasn't. And it wasn't. He was not. It wasn't disrespectful or anything. It's just.
He was mad.
And you didn't give a shit. You were just trying to get to the Tito's in the locker room.
That is awesome.
Coach, all right. So listen, we have a bunch of UM guys who work on our staff, okay? And so feel free. If you want to take one more victory lap and dunk on all the fans down here or what the lack of fans that they have down here, feel free to do it, okay? By the way, you got out of the right time because we're expecting a hurricane. So you got out of the right time. But feel free to dunk on Miami right now. Go ahead.
I appreciate you, Miami. Thanks for the money. And the first thing we spend it on, I'll thank you. Guys,
but oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
I want you to win the national champ.
That is so good. Thanks, coach. Appreciate the time, coach. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Right.
What a trip, Mike. Someone pays you $1.5 million to come down and you get to kick their ass.
I love the fact that the kid asked him about it. I mean, we are in the era now where kids can get paid and he asked him about it. I think it's an awesome question. Right. Hey, so where's that money going? We get a little. You crack me off a little bit of that one.
I mean, those three wide receivers should get at least a $500,000 each.
Yeah, I mean right? Like you said, one of them was a little 10-yarder. That's
all the money.
That was yak.
I know.
Everything else was over the top. They're running by those freaking secondary like they were nothing. Oh my God.
Quick math there. Quick math there, Billy.
And listen, knowing the apathy of the Miami fans down there, because I was a Dolphin for 1 year, there had to be tens of people that watched that.
Oh, God. You know, when he started talking about all the fans that were filing out, I was thinking, what fans? There were none there to begin with. I mean,
both of them got up from their seat.
Golic is really enjoying this. It's like a little heat off of Notre Dame for a week.
No, it's nothing. Notre Dame got over 500 yards offense. What do I got nothing to complain about. I mean, whatever. Yeah, you know what? You worry about the last game, and the last game they kicked ass. I just like, and I said it, that so many people, these small teams shouldn't be playing the big teams. You're going to get players hurt. Number one, the money these teams are getting these aren't big programs. So they are so helping the programs and the schools to get this money. And number two, I'm telling you, these players want to check themselves against the top players, the top rated players. So don't feel bad for them. And sometimes they get their asses kicked. Sometimes they do. We see that. But they want that challenge. They want to see how they match up.
how they stack up. You're right. Kent State was paid $1.5 million as well. And Mike, I was more impressed with Kent State than I was with Georgia. I mean, and they lost by 17.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, it's something. I love watching this. I really do.
Yeah. Billy, what are you smirking at? What's going on?
I was looking at Notre Dame's schedule. I see that BYU is next.
It's a tough one. No. Their schedule is fucking tough, Billy. Yeah, like, they can lose the rest of the games.
Listen, I mean, the one good thing I know Notre Dame will do, they'll get better as the season goes. The O-line, you got two young tackles. I know Harry Hestand's back, who's going to help them a lot. They're going to get better. The running game's getting better. Drew Pine, all of a sudden, you got a backup in there. You got to give him a little time to get acclimated, and they didn't have a ton of great receivers coming into it, so they're going to grow into that. You got a great tight end, which helps a hell of a lot. They'll be fine, but I mean, listen, they're going to be in nail biters. They're going to be doing things in some of the games. They're going to go, oh man, but they're going to win their share. But you know, you got BYU's a good program, obviously Clemson, even though they got scored on a lot. Sam Hartman, the heck of a quarterback at Wake Forest.
He's been there for 13 years, finally starting to figure it out.
Yeah. Yes, he has. You know, so and then obviously USC, they look pretty damn good as well.
Mike, Syracuse is pretty good. Like,
yes, they are. You're right. Well, it's tough until Notre Dame starts winning them, and then all the Notre Dame haters come out and say what an easy schedule it is because they're clueless. So,
right. You want to dunk on Mike Ryan some more, Mike? Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, him defending I love him defending the fans of Miami. I was down there in 93. Now, that was probably before Mike was born, but I'm there in 93 playing. We're 9-2. We're the best team in the NFL. And our games are blacked out because we're not selling out. The apathy down there, and I came from Philly where it's for real. And Miami, sorry, Mike Ryan. You know, the apathy down there is embarrassing. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
So there you go. Take that one.
I like that. Mike should they should spend money on better players.
Yeah. Spend, you know. Well, they can now.
Yeah, well, they have. These guys aren't that good.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Tyler Van Dyke was benched. I don't know how familiar you were with Tyler Van Dyke headed into the season, but he's a guy who's projected as a first-round pick, and I'm wondering, what do you see this season? Like, what's different? Because he has not played well at all.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know a ton about him. I have not started any real – and I'm not calling college games this year, so I haven't been as up on it, and I haven't really started evaluating for the draft. I will know more about him for sure. But at this point, I can't give you a good, a good synopsis of it. I'll be honest. I won't try and bullshit my way through it. So I was just going to say, it's been the year of handing out 1.5 mil. Remember, App State got 1.5 mil from Texas A&M, and had some of the great signs the next week when game day was there. It was like Texas A&M is the only ATM that gives out 1.5 million or something. It's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. There's others out there now as well.
Yeah. That's got to be the worst feeling ever, right?
Oh, like getting, for the other side?
Yeah, paying to lose a game to an inferior team. It has to be the worst feeling in college
football. Notre Dame went through it with Marshall. I believe they paid. I'm not positive, but I think they paid Marshall. I don't know for sure. But, if you're supposed to whoop up on a team and you don't, man, let me tell you, the worst part about it is a player is filmed the next day. There are plays that you play on a Saturday if you're in college or Sunday and you're in the NFL where it goes bad and you literally on the field before the next play, you're thinking to yourself, oh, shit, is that going to look bad when I watch film tomorrow? And it actually enters your mind of just how bad it is. And then you get to film the next day and you hope there's a reason that play isn't shown for somehow, some way that the coach skips over that play, but it never happens.
Mike, it should make you feel better. Notre Dame didn't pay $1.5 million to Marshall. They only played $1.25 million.
Okay, 1.25. Okay.
So they saved $250,000 on that loss.
Yeah.
Must have been a two for special kind of thing.
And you know what? Any team that gets paid and goes to that other the big time school wins. They should talk all kind of, I have no problem talking shit leaving them.
The loss was on sale.
I mean, no problem just talking all kind of shit as you leave. Because that's, man, enjoy it. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that the coach stuck a couple Tito's in there. I mean, just enjoy the hell out of it. Now they have a game a little sooner. They play Friday against UTSA. So it is at home. So I imagine the fans there are going to be pretty rowdy for Middle Tennessee State. So it's always interesting to see what they do the next week after a big win like that, of how quickly you can get those players back down to earth.
Billy, I think you'll agree with me, and I think you'll love this idea. So I think, you know, like when Marshall or UM pays Middle Tennessee State $1.5 million, that's just to play the game. If Middle Tennessee State wins the game, UM should have to give them another $1.5 million. Wow. How do you feel about that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I actually like that a lot.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, here's your money just for showing up. And here's a little something, something if you actually get the win.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
You like that?
Right. I do like that.
Billy,
bring it on the field in a big chest and open it up. And,
yeah, I was thinking like a brick struck in the end zone or something.
Oh, just like do it like dodgeball with Allen. They bring that chest out and open up and show you the money, right? And how about Cristobal or you know, any coach should be in the locker room after the game. You just cost us, you know, or we had to pay it anyway. And you embarrassed us. We paid them $1.5 million. You laid a friggin' egg out there. You know, it surprises me a little bit he didn't say anything, but not much, because that had to be a pretty embarrassing loss.
You know what? I am surprised. I'm shocked by that. You have to say, like, Coach, your kids did a great job.
I agree.
Did a great job.
I agree. Yes.
Give me a break.
I completely agree with that. I'm with you. Yeah. Let me ask you guys something. This is off of this game and the coach, but this is a bigger question. So I saw it, and I had to jump in on it because I get so sick and tired of hearing this. The tweet that showed the video, because I did the San Fran Denver game last Sunday for
one.
Yeah. No, listen, I loved it because the defense has played great. Everybody sits there, oh, what a shitty game. That was a great defensive game. Now, the offense is look like shit at times with bad throws by both Wilson and Garoppolo and drop balls. But those defenses, both of them, are for real, and I enjoyed that. Moving on, after the game, you see Jimmy Garoppolo going over and hugging one of the Denver players, smiling, you know, guys who obviously know each other, and all fucking hell breaks loose. Oh, my God, how could you be doing that after a game? And before I get you guys' reaction, let me just say, I can't stand that. This is what people do for a living. This is their job. They know these players. They cross paths. The game is over. You go over, you say hi to someone, and you move on. Don't think that a player doesn't feel bad about the loss, but right after that game, for him to go up and smile and give a hug to somebody he knows, I see zero issue with it at all. And I get so irritated with people that say, you should not be smiling after that. Shut the fuck up. All right. I mean, Jesus. Please. It really aggravates the hell out of me. Man, this is their job. This is what they do. And these are the people they know. They take a couple seconds. They say hi. Hope the family's well. And they move on. And then they'll feel like shit about the game. But to rip them for smiling and shaking the hand of a guy on the other team, man, that just pisses me off.
Mike, so you always look at it from the player perspective, yeah. And I always look at things from the fan perspective. And I will tell you that fans want the players to absorb the loss the same way they are at home. And so I don't know what to tell you. Like, they want Jimmy. They feel so bad that the Niners lost that game. They're not smiling at home. They're not celebrating at home. And they don't want to see their quarterback smiling and celebrating after the game. They don't want to see it.
And, you know, if that's the way that you as a fan want to deal with it, that's fine. But you know what? You're not a player. You're not the guy who works every day. And this is your job. Boy. And this is how you make your living. And these are the people you know. So this is how he chooses to celebrate it. You know, you can do it differently. You can both feel bad and still look at it differently at the end of a game.
Right.
So listen, I understand what you're saying from the fan. We know it's short. Listen, I said this when I was in Philly. We'd lose a game, and that Wednesday, the next Wednesday, I'd be out in the grocery store or something shopping, and someone would say, how can you be out? How are you not watching film? And I'd be like, are you fucking serious? You know, I mean, I'm so devastated over that loss. I said, yeah, you get Sunday to Sunday. You see a game Sunday, and you get to wait till next Sunday. I got to start working for the next game. I got to put that loss behind me, and you know what? I'm still living a life. You know, I got a life here. I'm not 24/7.
Plus, some of your defensive scheme, Mike, there was no reason to watch film. You've told us repeatedly that there were times where Reggie White and Clyde Simmons just told you not to move. Like, get out of the way.
Well, no, they didn't have to tell me that. I knew to stay out of their way. I would just ask them before the game, hey, you planning on spinning inside or anything? I'll stay the hell out of your way. You know, I'm cool. You know, I'll help you up after the play, after you sack the quarterback.
Yeah. Billy, you seem to be objecting to this. I don't know.
It was a very Justin Fields take that you just had, where it was like, you know what? I don't care about the fans. I'm the one that's actually putting in the work.
No,
I will say this, Mike. Yeah. that during after the Dolphins and Bills game this past weekend, I did see the Bills players. I remember Stephon Diggs specifically was kind of like laughing with some of the Dolphins players. Yeah. And then Tua was consoling Josh Allen. I thought it was pretty cool because these people, I mean, in that game in particular, they were all passing out. They all needed IVs. Like they left everything on the field. And after it was done and it ended in a horrific way for the Bills where they just simply ran out of time. They were just like, they were cool. They were going, they were talking to the Dolphins.
And as I said, if a player wants to huff off the field and not, you know, and be mad, that's fine too, if that's how they want to deal with it. Now, I'm a firm believer in going over and shaking hands with especially the guy you played against the most and doing that. It's not like, you know, and there are different times. Sometimes I don't know them as well. And if it's a bad loss, it's a quick handshake and I'm in the locker room. But Billy, if I know people on the other team, I have no problem staying out there, seeing how the family is, saying hi or whatever. And I know there are fans that say, oh, you can get his number, catch up later. It doesn't have to be after the game. And I just disagree with that.
Billy, I think what you saw with the Bills and the Dolphins was like, hey, it was such a violent game. And I think they were all happy they just survived. Like, I'm sitting, the heat and the violence. Oh, like,
playing in heat is playing. I play in 0 degrees before I play in that heat. I hate playing in heat. Hate it.
Well, that game could have ended. It was a coin toss. You know what I mean? Like, they were so evenly matched the entire game that it's just like, yeah, like, you got us this time, but we can get you next time.
Do you guys buy into the Dolphins? And right now they're saying they're the first top team or Eagles, Dolphins. You guys buy in?
I mean, me and Billy and Greg Cody had them going to the Super Bowl before the season. Yeah. So,
wait, really? As a joke, or you really picked that?
No, for real. I can't figure it out. We really thought that. We did. Yeah. Mike, they're a talented team.
I'm going to need to hear tape of that. And I'm going to need to see. The video. I'm going to need to see the video with the date stamp on it, too.
Yeah. Okay. It exists. We'll find it. Yeah, it definitely happened. And we were laughed at.
Yeah. Mike, they have a good team.
Oh, no. There
were questions around it, too. I think you'd be the better person to ask. Are you? And, Mike, I'm telling you right now, Billy is he's keeping receipts, okay?
Oh, God.
If you're in on the Dolphins, Mike, we need to know before the Thursday night game. Okay?
I'm in on them that they're better. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, the AFC is deep. And just like Billy said, I agree with you. That game could have gone either way. And that's how it's going to be with probably the top four or five AFC teams. It's way deeper than the NFC. I mean, you got the Eagles who are playing that are so balanced. Other than that, I mean, you never know which receiver will be on the field for either Tampa Bay or Green Bay. You know, the Rams, we've seen them look good and bad. We haven't seen a lot of great consistency. We've seen it more in the AFC. So, yeah, Miami on their best day, they certainly could represent. But, man, a lot of those are going to be coin tosses.
The thing that makes you feel good about the Dolphins, if you're a Dolphins fan, is that this was the tough part of their schedule, these first four. And after this, their next seven or eight are really easy, winnable games. So they're going to have probably a very inflated record at some point, but then you need to get to the playoffs and play the other teams.
The only problem with that is everybody thought Kansas City was going to smoke the Colts because they have sucked for the year, and look what happened. So even when you play the teams you should beat, that's the NFL, man. It could sneak up and bite you in the ass if you don't play your best. So on paper, I get what you're saying. But, you know, we've already seen it go other ways at times.
Mike, but listen, after Cincinnati, and it's a short week after a violent game and 110-degree sun.
And all those plays they had,
But I just, like, Mike, let me just reel these off to you real quick. The Jets, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Lions, the Bears, the Browns, the Texans, the Niners. Those are not very good teams. Those are not very good quarterbacks. And I know what you're saying about the NFL. That they'll probably lose a game that they shouldn't lose. They've already won a game they probably shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works in the NFL. But, Mike, that is when you're off to a 3-0 start, that's a really easy schedule.
Yeah, the teams I look at, Minnesota, they can be better than you think. But Minnesota, as I've always said, usually is good enough to not be great and not bad enough to suck. So they're right there in the middle. But every now and then, you can see the possibility of offensive explosion. Detroit's averaging over 30 a game.
Yeah, I can see them losing that game, right?
Oh, absolutely. And Cleveland with their defense, you know, and the running attack, who knows? But for the most part, I get what you're saying. You know, you're right. It's certainly on the easier side, but they'll give one of those away. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, keep the receipt on me. I mean, they beat the Patriots, who are just nothing, and they beat a shell of a Ravens team that has absolutely no defense, and they shouldn't have won that game anyway. Then you win a game in 110-degree heat when you live there. I mean, That is a completely overrated team. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Listen, Mike McDaniel beat Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh, and then Josh
Allen. He beat the Ravens defense, and he beat the Patriots with Mac Jones and nobody at receiver. You and I can walk on the field and play receiver for the Patriots right now.
I can tell you what you and I shouldn't be doing is blasting the Dolphins as Jet fans, okay?
Listen, just because our team is worse doesn't mean their team is the best.
I like what the Dolphins are doing. How can you not? I mean, they're taking care of their business, and we'll see how far it goes. But
you think the Bills are better, and that's fair. Like, a lot of people feel like that. I think you would rather have the Bills team.
Right? I think the Bills are better. I think Kansas City's better. Right. The Chargers were a bit of a shocker, the way they got smoked. So that's, you know, because they were one of those teams I thought, oh, I've been wrong about a couple. I thought the Chargers, and I thought New Orleans would be better than what they're showing right now as well.
Yeah, Herbert a bit overrated, right?
I mean, I don't know about that. You know, the one thing, though, I had to answer somebody on Twitter, you know, he had the cartilage thing and he got it numbed up. I had that exact same injury, 13 weeks of getting shot in the cartilage between the ribs, but it works. You don't feel a thing. But he made a throw and someone was like, I can't believe Justin Herbert made a throw being injured the way he is. I said, dude, that's what the needle's for. He doesn't feel shit. That's why he can make that throw. He doesn't feel anything, man. Wait till 3 hours after the game and then go ask him how he feels.
He did make one of the five best throws I've ever seen in that game. Yeah, in that game. Yeah.
He did, but yeah, because he didn't feel the injury. That's the whole idea behind sticking a needle in it. And thank God the doctor didn't hit his lung like they did with Tyrod Taylor last year.
I can't believe that doctor's still hanging around. I mean, seriously.
I know.
Literally sticking a needle into people's chests.
Yeah. Right. Justin Herbert's. Jesus Christ. What are they doing, the Chargers?
Yeah.
Mike, all I think of when I see Eagles 3-0, Dolphins 3-0, is how the hell did Nick Saban get both those fucking quarterbacks on his team?
Listen, you know what? And that's the one thing we've talked about. Is Ohio State, Alabama, we have said with both these teams, both those schools, because they've had quarterbacks come out, name the last great quarterback that came out from either one of those schools. That was a high pick like these guys and lived up to it. We haven't had one from either school, right? Name me one. No, But no. Jalen and Tua were both on the hot seat this year. Were they going to be the quarterback of the future? Because you got probably four quarterbacks that are going to be first rounders next year. Mm-hmm. So this was a big year for them. And they're both, to their credit, they are both answering the bell.
Yeah, that was the genius of Saban to win all those championships with a bunch of AJ McCarrons.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Very true.
And then he finally got a couple of good quarterbacks and he still won championships.
Exactly. He can do it with or without it. Don't matter. Yeah.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it. That was fun. I know you love those stories. That's why I wanted you to join in there, because you love those small schools beating up on the big schools.
Yeah. Love Rick. He was a great interview. And I love that he embraced it, you know, that it wasn't like, well, we just move on. You know, I don't want to. No, man, you fucking did it, man. Enjoy that shit, man. And I'm glad he is. Good for him.
So cool. Yep. And we can all laugh at Mike Ryan. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. See you guys.
See you.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.